Well, we did it together. We finally made it to Friday. Friday, the 10th day of December, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. The coronavirus pandemic transformed Anthony Fauci into one of the most famous men in America virtually overnight. The vast majority of Americans had never even heard of this guy before suddenly he was appearing on television every day at coronavirus press briefings. But Fauci, make no mistake, has been around for a very long time. He's been director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since 1984. He's the single highest paid federal employee in the entire federal government, making $417,000 in 2019. For perspective, that's more than the president. That's more than any of our generals. It's more than the chairman of the Federal Reserve. But Fauci wasn't just sitting around waiting for this virus to thrust him into the global spotlight. He had a career. As head of NIAID, Fauci controls more than $6 billion, that's billion with a B, in funding for scientific research. That's enough money that Fauci, for decades, has shaped the very direction of medical research. In a very real way, Fauci decides what research paths are pursued and which are ignored. He decides whether institutions flourish or decline and whether individual researchers succeed or stagnate. For 35 years before coronavirus even happened, he was one of the most powerful doctors in the world. So how did he use that power exactly? And for the first 2 years of this pandemic, there's been remarkably little interest in answering that question. But now Robert Kennedy Jr. has come along to tell the real story about Fauci. He has a new book out, The Real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health. We had the opportunity to sit down with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for about 40 minutes earlier. He apologized for his voice, saying it was particularly bad today, but he did spend time with us. It was a powerful conversation, and here's part of what was said.
In the vaccine group, 20 people died over that six-month period. 20 of 22,000 people died from all causes. In the placebo group, only 14 people died. So what that means is if you took the vaccine, you're 48% more likely to die over the next 6 months than if you do not. How are they dying? Where did those excess deaths come from? Almost all of them came from heart attacks. So in the vaccine group, 5 people died of heart attacks during that 6 month period. In the placebo group, only one died. So what that means is if you take the vaccine, you're 500% more likely to die of a heart attack over the next 6 months than if you did not. It also means that for every life they save from COVID, they are killing 4 people from heart attacks. Now, these data may not mean anything because the study groups were so small. They should have been 400,000 people rather than 40,000. But that is the study that Pfizer and FDA said we're going to rely on. And that's what the study shows, which is the American people do not understand that because of the dynamics that you describe. Our press, which is brain dead and what is not telling the people the truth about these vaccines. And we are seeing now there's confirmation of these huge tsunami of deaths that are following vaccination, and a lot of them are myocarditis. That is the biggest cause of death. And it confirms everything we saw in the preclinical trials.
So we're seeing a lot of this in young children as well. Originally, when the Pfizer vaccine was approved for emergency use for ages 12 to 17 years old, particularly in the boys in that age group, we saw that you're 6 times more likely as a 12 to 17 year old boy to have a major heart complication than you are to have a major or serious illness from the virus itself. The virus itself virtually endangers no children and they virtually don't spread it at all. So we're seeing a huge overreaction by our so-called leaders in these mask mandates and this distance learning and the requirement to be injected before returning to in-person learning. So now this is happening in LA and New York, I think, are in a competition to decide who can be more tyrannical. Do you think that this is going to spread throughout the entire country?
Well, people should understand the math. And here's the math, and you said it very well. I'll give you a few details to flesh out.
Sure.
One is Johns Hopkins did a study of how many children were dying from COVID. That study is published in The Lancet. The Johns Hopkins researchers could not find a single healthy American child who died from COVID. Not one. There were children who died, but they had comorbidities, severe obesity, diabetes, asthma, and other comorbidities. The Germans last week released a vast study of their own database that confirms that. Low 5 years old, not a single German child died, a healthy German child died of COVID, not one. In the upper age groups between 5 and 20, it was a death rate of 3 per million. So compare that to the COVID vaccines. Here's what the Hong Kong study, which is the best one, shows that 1 out of every 2,700 boys, kids, boys are not supposed to die of heart attacks or strokes. We're seeing that out all over the place. Athletes dropping dead on the field, et cetera.
Yeah.
1 out of every 2,700 boys is getting myocarditis from the vaccine. Half those kids will die within 5 years. Myocarditis is a really bad disease, and it never gets cured. 50% of them will either die, according to old data, 50% of children with myocarditis will die or require a heart transplant within 5 years. Here's the other thing, and that affects boys. Tony Fauci and Pfizer promised complete transparency, but they went to court 2 weeks ago, FDA and Pfizer, and asked the federal judge to allow them to keep that data secret for 55 years. We were able to get hold of that data. And what that data shows is that myocarditis is far from the biggest injury, most common injury from these vaccines. The most common injuries are neurological injuries. And they are affecting not boys, but girls at 3 times the rate as boys. Oh, this is completely hidden. Now, when Pfizer did those studies on the 22,000 people, only 1,000 of them were between the ages of 15 and of 11 and 15. This is the group they're now targeting for this vaccine. So they're going to give this to 76,000 kids, 76 million kids, based upon a study of 1,000. One of the kids in that study, a girl from Cleveland called Maddie DeGary, a 13-year-old girl, has now come forward and she came to us and she got the vaccine. She volunteered to be in this group because she wanted to help the community. She got a fever the night she got the vaccine. She got seizures. Today she is in a wheelchair, apparently for life. And she can only eat through a feeding tube that goes through her nose. She testified in front of the Senate Ron Johnson's committee 2 weeks ago. When we went back and looked at Pfizer's study and identified how Pfizer reported her injury, they reported it as a stomach ache. So this is a girl that is debilitated from life. Her life is changed dramatically in a terrible, terrible way. And they reported that as a stomach ache. And that's 1 in 1,000. So if that injury occurs at that rate in the general population that they're now the 76 million kids they're giving this to, you're going to get 76,000 children who look like that. And none of this is discussed in the press. And when people like Maddie DeGary come forward and talk about their injury, how are they reported in the press? They are vilified, they are marginalized, they are gaslighted. They are characterized as anti-vaxxers who are demonized. And it's not a good public health outcome for us to be hurting people and silencing people who are reporting vaccine injuries.
That conversation with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. got very interesting and went on for a total of about 40 minutes. It's available for premium users tomorrow on Saturday at redvoicemedia.com/premium. Become a premium user. Go to redvoicemedia.com/premium to view the rest of that interview, as well as other extended behind-the-scenes content, extended interviews, and an ad-free experience. Become a premium user. Go to redvoicemedia.com/premium. More of The Stu Peters Show continues in just 60 seconds after this word from Mike Lindell.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my brand new product, My Slippers. What makes my slippers different from those other slippers is my exclusive four-layer design. The first layer is MyPillow's patented foam, which will help prevent fatigue and offer you incredible support. My second layer is a memory foam that will give you amazing comfort. And layer three is my patented impact gel that'll help reduce stress on your feet. And layer four is a durable outdoor-indoor sole so you can wear my slippers anywhere, anytime.
Go online or call right now to order your very own pair of the new My Slippers. Use the promo code on your screen and save an incredible 40% off your My Slippers order. You can enjoy My Slippers anytime, anywhere.
What I love most about My Slippers is that I can wear them all day long and not have to change shoes.
I personally guarantee the first time you put them on, they'll be the most comfortable slippers you'll ever own.
But we've seen how COVID tyranny has made its way into every single aspect of our political lives, our law enforcement, our judicial systems, and weaponized against free citizens in America. It's disgusting. It's unconstitutional. It's causing a lot of people to senselessly lose their lives or become permanently handicapped or infertile or have major health complications as a result of the shots being forced on us in every imaginable way. And now the sick psychopaths are targeting our kids. In New York City, kids ages 5 and up are only allowed to sit down at a restaurant and eat if they've been injected. That's what freedom looks like under Bill de Blasio. And believe me, a lot of these tyrants are going to follow suit. Dr. Jane Ruby is all over this, and she joins us now. And it seems that you've actually found out also that the judicial system has now been weaponized against kids and against their parents and their wishes.
Yeah, to me, Stu, this is forcing children to have injections, and in many cases against their parents' wishes. Look, we have a judge just hours ago, yesterday, Richard Dollinger, who is a New York State Supreme Court judge. Actually, he's acting, and he had two parents before him. The father is a scientist at Rochester Institute of Technology, and the mother is an attorney who frequently moves through Judge Dollinger's courts. And before him was the question, the father did not want the 11-year-old child to get this injection. And the father reasonably said, "Judge, I would just like a little more time for all of us to see the long-term ramifications and safety for children. This has just not been out long enough." This judge absolutely disregarded that. In fact, one of his quotes was, "This court cannot wait for the vaccine side effects or efficacy to be scientifically established," right? Why not? Is just any poison okay for children without any kind of science established at all in an experimental shot? This is incredibly outrageous. So the child will be forced vaccinated against the father's wishes. And this judge is actually, Stu, on his way out. He ages out at the end of the year, which means they're just causing all kinds of havoc, just like Bill de Blasio, as you mentioned,
right,
who's going to be out at the end of the year, essentially. And they're just trying to just burn the town down before they get out and put children at risk. Now, de Blasio, as you mentioned, does now have the vaccine passport for 5 to 11-year-olds. And it's more than just restaurants. It's museums. It's theater. It's functions.
It's extracurricular activities. They can't even participate in band or play sports or be involved with any community recreation at all.
Dance classes. And if this isn't all egregious enough, it's almost like New York and California are like vying with each other to see who can be the most ridiculous and the most dangerous to children. But in California, they've authorized pizza parties, Stu, where not only are parents not aware, but children are actively told that they are not to tell their parents that they were injected at the pizza party. And of course, they're luring them in for pizza to get the shot. So it's, you know, Stu, it's pizza for heart attacks and strokes. What world am I living in? Can somebody please explain to me?
This is no different than the other type of pizza parties that we're used to hearing about. This is medical rape. I mean, these people are injecting people's kids without their permission at a pizza party. Think about that. Just let that sink in for a second. This should enrage every single parent, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, no matter what your religious ideology is. This should be okay with nobody.
Absolutely right. And Stu, I'd like to put a call out, you know, to all of our members.
They should be arrested. They should be arrested. These people that are hosting these pizza parties are violating these kids. They're raping them. They're assaulting these kids. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's true. It's the reality. But I'd like to put a call out to everyone to please send to Stu or myself any information that you have, like this Judge Richard Dellinger in Rochester, New York, Monroe County Supreme Court, because we're going to start naming names, Stu. We're going to start shining a light and making it really real for parents to see really what's going on here and how these children are being coerced outside of their view. I've said it for a long time. Stop sending your kids to school. It's dangerous. And now you can't count on hospitals. They're the new ovens. But I think some, I don't want to be unfair, some courtrooms are now becoming the ovens for children. And we're going to start naming people like Judge Dellinger and call them to the forefront so people know who's who in their community, who's forcing children to get jabbed, probably against the child's will, as well as at least one of the two parents, which I think is absolutely horrible.
And this parent, this father, who happens to also be a scientist, who simply said, I just would like a little bit more time. I'd just like to see how this is affecting the kids that are choosing being the key word here, whose parents and what kids are choosing to go get injected with these shots. Those are going to be obviously the people that have been misinformed and, you know, they watch their local news or they see a cartoon or a billboard. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. Everything is Pfizer, 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 and Moderna. It's right in front of your face everywhere you go. I saw the other day, Dr. Jane, one of those billboard trucks driving by through the city here in Minneapolis with one of the, and on the billboard was the big get injected today or get jabbed or vaccinated. Be safe. Be, you know, I mean, all this 90% effective and safe and all this, it's just complete lies. Total propaganda everywhere you go. I was just saying in an interview earlier, can you imagine how much more dangerous this might have been and how much more successful these sycophants could have been if they had just said, okay, yeah, we have a vaccine for this thing now. If you want to choose to get it, it will be available along with your seasonal flu. Just go ahead. And then just left it alone. Can you imagine how much more successful they would have been? Because Americans would have been like, okay, yeah, well, I better get that, right? Instead, they've kind of shot themselves in the foot because the push has been so ridiculous, especially in the name of a virus that boasts a recovery rate of 99.998%. I can't help it if you weigh 400 pounds. You've clearly made some life decisions for yourself that are indicative of the lack of care that you have for your physical well-being, right? Get out of the line for the Big Macs at the McDonald's. Nobody can help you until you're willing to help yourself. If you're 400 pounds, you're probably not going to survive much of anything. So yes, it makes you high risk. Those are the people that are dying from COVID-19 and people who have such serious underlying medical conditions that when they get this branded product, this set of symptoms that's being marketed and sold, people are becoming billionaires in every sector of life because of this COVID plandemic that's been in existence, according to David Martin, since at least 2015, where this planning took place with Peter Daszak and Tony Fauci and probably way before, you're right.
And people forget, Stu, that, you know, before this whole COVID plandemic, there people always died from the common cold or the flu if the right conditions were set up. So they don't even need really to frighten people anymore with any particular fake numbers. In fact, we saw just this morning news breaking that the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, just reinstituted, and listen carefully, everyone, indoor mask wearing, whether you're vaccinated or not, especially for children. And this is going to take effect, I believe, January 15th. And Stu, there are like maybe 20 cases in the whole state, cases with the phony PCR. So really, this is just getting absurd. People need to step up. Businesses in New York have said, bring it. We're not going
to
do
it. Why would you need to wear a mask if your vaccine works?
Well, there you go, Stu. There's the logic.
You've mandated the vaccine for everybody. Everybody ages 5 and up will be injected with the bioweapon. If they're vaccines and they're safe and they're effective, why do you need to wear a mask? Especially indoors when you're around your own family or your own friends or the same group of people. It's absolutely insane. If people can't see it at this point, I mean, all we have to, here's what we have to do. We just have to keep doing what we're doing because the word is getting out. This program is saving lives because the people, the viewers of this program, the viewers here are a family. They are what makes this an action platform. They are the ones that widely distribute this thing. And I'm telling you, it's a God thing. They're God wonderful. Is doing They're absolutely wonderful. Amazing things. And he's using me, he's using you, he's using this platform. We just need to keep doing what we're doing. The truth is getting out there. And I don't care who support, anybody who supports these jabs, anybody who supports this shot, this bioweapon, is complicit at this point. There are no excuses for people. If I hear 5D chess one more time, I'm going to vomit. Okay? No. If you support this bioweapon, you're complicit in the murder of children, period. Dr. Jane Ruby, I got to get going.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
All right, go to vaccine-police.com right now. Again, vaccine-police.com. Christopher Key is the vaccine police. This guy is a soldier, for real. This guy is a warrior. He is all over the country, sleepless nights, driving in his car from city to city, state to state, all around the United States of America to be at meetings with lawmakers, speaking on Capitol steps, confronting school boards and the petty tyrants that want to mask up your kids or force them to be injected before they're allowed to return to in-person learning. Hospital administrators, why are you killing people's friends and family and loved ones? Why are you shoving them full of this poison called remdesivir and strapping them to a ventilator, keeping their family away from them while they die in seclusion? Why are you doing this? And he's video documenting all of this stuff. It's available at vaccine-police.com. You can see it. One of the most important things that this guy is doing is putting up billboards in major metropolitan areas because a lot of people don't have access to programs like this. They don't even know that we exist. So they're just believing the news. They're watching what's being said on American Idol and all of this other nonsense BS, right? So they think that these shots are safe and effective. We've got to get to these people, and that's what Christopher Key is doing with these billboards in major metropolitan areas as he's letting people know that these things are dangerous and deadly. He needs funding. He needs help. Please go help him. Go to vaccine-police.com and donate if you can. Go to vaccine-police.com. Give this guy some money. He needs it to travel. He needs it for the billboards. He needs it for his efforts, maybe even for batteries. I don't know, but he needs it, and I'm watching his fruits. Know them by their fruits, right? This guy is a soldier for God. I'm telling you right now. Go to vaccine-police.com. Again, vaccine-police.com. Well, a few weeks ago, we had Sheila Zielinski on this program and talked a bit about the topic of transhumanism. That's the ideology very popular in Silicon Valley that wants to use radical technologies to transform the very idea of what it means to be human. Transhumanists want to use genetic engineering to rewrite human DNA. They want to conduct anti-aging research that could make humans functionally immortal. Or if that fails, they want to make it impossible to forget everything. They want to upload our brains onto computers and then download them back onto a newly grown body. They want to graft cybernetic parts onto the human body until it's hard to tell where the machine ends and where the human begins. In the book of Genesis, God says, "Let us make man in our image." Transhumanists think they can reverse that and use technology to transform men into gods. It's fascinating watching these psychopaths work right in front of our eyes. Nobody's better versed on the topic, and we wanted to chat with Sheila a little bit more about it, so she joins us now. Sheila, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu, and I appreciate you having me on today.
Of course. So how quickly has the science of achieving godlike immortality advanced from some far-reaching demonic idea to actual reality?
Oh, I mean, we're there. We're at that tipping point. We're there at the precipice. The war to vanquish God's creation of mankind, Stu, has been brewing, of course, we know, for thousands of years. You just mentioned it in Genesis, but it's coming to a head. And in Technogeddon, my new book, I lay out this ominous technological matrix of darkness that's engulfing our planet we see right now. Transhumanism, you just mentioned it, robotics, genetic engineering, the resulting hellish hybridization of humans that really, I feel, could soon cast us into spurious enslavement. I mean, we're being systematically misled and brainwashed to embrace all
these. That seems really dark. I mean, don't you think that the people of faith are rising up, starting to understand this? Do you really think that they're not going to fight? They're just going to allow for this human extinction to happen and for God to just be tossed out of their lives? Do you really believe that?
I think that slowly people are waking up, Stu, and I think when we realize this could cause our demise, it tends to fuel us to want to do something rather than just acquiesce to this total tyranny we see before us. So yes, I think that given the end result, which, I mean, there's no reversing that. So I think it's really important that God's people do step up to the plate. Yes.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm watching God do amazing things. You know, at my church, on the street, in public, I mean, as a whole, overall, with what he's doing, I'm just watching God like really come to life everywhere. And I'm a whole lot more optimistic in my faith. I guess I'm just stronger in my faith that I believe the book. He wins. God wins. And that this is not gonna, no matter how bad these lizard people really try as hard as they can, and they'll do anything to get exactly what it is that they want. But I just don't, I can't succumb to that. I don't believe that. You know, do you understand? Yeah. God wins. You know that, right, Sheila?
Oh yes, we know by the Bible. You know, this is the Christian premise that, you know, the book of Revelation, but we're living in the book of Revelation right now. We can see that prophecy is on fire in the world today. And so you're right. I mean, we do have that a blessed assurance, that great hope. So that's important.
You know, in the days of Noah, the genetics of the human race was under full assault. It's funny how history repeats itself. That's exactly what's happening here from these freak shows in Silicon Valley and people like Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, I mean, all this genetic tampering, we're seeing it, as you just said, we're seeing it again. It's you know, this is a re-show of this with these fallen angels. God destroyed all the life on the planet to wipe that out. The flood wiped out every living creature except for Noah and his family and those specific animals which God sent to the ark. So what we're now witnessing, Stu, is a veritable onslaught of bioengineered, weaponized, diabolical experiment. We know these vaccines are, I call them genocidal, gene-altering bioweapons. And I'll take that one step further. They're a covert tool of transhumanism to me. Take hydrogel, for example. It contains microscopic nanobots, which when they're injected into you, not only will they modify your genes, but they allow technology to interface with people. So in a nutshell, that shot allows you to be injected with genetic modification technology, Stu, that will permanently and irreversibly change your genetics. So when you see the DNA tampering and editing the genome, changing our epigenetics, that's moving us away from being human, and we can't reverse that trend.
Yeah, I mean, there are things out there, though. I don't want people to give up hope on that either. If they do have jab remorse, that there are treatments that are being rolled out right now that can help to treat some of those people who have been injected. So again, I got to remain optimistic and let people know that there are brilliant scientists and people that are putting together antidotes, if you will, and really viable treatments to help people who have accepted that. You know, a lot of people were misled when this thing first came out. And think of the different place that we would be in right now had the government just said, hey, so we've got this vaccine, you know, over here. If you want to protect yourself against this COVID thing, when you go get your influenza shot, yep, we've got this vaccine over here. Just think about the different place that we might be in right now and how much more success they might have seen with the amount of people that would have been willing to get injected. But because they have pushed so hard in the name of a virus that has a 99.989% survival rate, and they're like Disney commercials, bus stop benches, the billboard driving by, every single commercial propaganda, people singing and dancing stupid songs, the push has been relentless. Yeah. So can you imagine the different place that we might be in right now had they just said, yeah, so we've got this vaccine for you. I think that a lot more people probably would be injected right now. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise. Now, you say that Elon's Neuralink will begin doing something incredibly terrifying in 2022. Scare us. What's that?
Yeah, well, this is really, truly frightening. He actually made this announcement. And I think, you know, as if this dystopian nightmare wasn't spooky enough, enter Elon Musk. So this globalist puppet, who, by the way, in June of this year, Stu, said, we should prepare for the digital afterlife. So his Neuralink will begin, get this, buckle up for this, implanting microchips in human brains in 2022. Yeah, you heard that right. Microchips in human brains. So during a live streamed interview last week, he said the chip is working well in monkeys. The company is doing extensive testing to confirm that that's safe and reliable, and you know that the device can be safely removed. It's like a Fitbit in your skull with tiny wires. That's what Musk said of the chip during this demonstration of this pig in 2022. And then, you know, they're hoping they have FDA approval in our first human being in 2022. So that seems terrifying.
Well, we've seen what the FDA has done, you know, to ensure the safety and effectiveness of the so-called vaccine that we know is not a vaccine, but we know now is a bioweapon. It's been proven. There's patents that show it. The thing has HIV in it, for crying out loud. The FDA approved that. No problem. There is no FDA. So we know right now that this is all about who's in whose back pocket. They're probably all sleeping with each other because that's what these weird psychopaths do as well. They're all having sex with each other and they're all stroking each other off. I mean, all of these people, they're all in bed together, literally, quite literally, trafficking in children, and all of the same psychopath stuff kind of goes together. You know, the transhumanism, the immortality, turning myself into a god, sleeping with children, the whole nine yards. These people are completely psycho, and the FDA is in that lot. So yeah, they'll approve this thing. They'll approve the microchip in the brain. No problem whatsoever. Elon Musk, he'll pay for it, and that'll happen. But you know what? In the end, God wins. Period. I've got about a minute left here. Final words from you, Sheila.
I agree. You're right, Stu. And I think this is a really important time for people that are not Christian. You know, the Bible actually says today is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. And there's a cutoff time. And I think it's really important that people understand that we're in a spiritual battle, and it's time to get on the right side of history here, get off the fence. And it's time to really make that commitment.
Amen. So, yeah. Get on team God, get right with Jesus right now. Absolutely. Now is the time. I pray every day that he comes and raptures his children, because I know where I'm going, and I pray that Amen. You're going there too. Sheila Zielinski, get her book. It's called Technogeddon, The Coming Human Extinction. Get it right now, anywhere you can find it. Sheila Zielinski, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sheila's right. This is a spiritual war. There is a battle happening in heaven, playing out right here on earth, a battle of good versus evil. And until you fully understand and accept that, you are going to be very confused, very confused. Things are going to seem extremely dark. You're going to feel extremely isolated. You're going to be paralyzed in fear. The enemy uses fear to paralyze you, to force you to do things that you would not normally do. For example, an injection that's been available for just 10 months, but that right in front of your eyes has caused an unprecedented amount of injury and death and adverse events. Fear of a virus with a 99.998% survival rate will have you tripping over yourself, running to the front of the line, and bringing little Junior with you to get injected with that thing. Fear causes people to do things that they would not normally do. Trust me. I have seen it in my experience as an investigator on the streets chasing violent offenders. People will do things out of fear that they would not normally do. Do not be trapped in that fear. That is what the enemy wants. Drown yourself in the Holy Spirit. Drown yourself in God's promises. Drown yourself in his word. Maybe you took this injection. Maybe you have jab remorse. Maybe you've learned things since taking the injection that makes you wish that you had not done that. I understand that. I don't view people who have been inoculated as bad people. I'm not scared of those people. I will hug them. I will hold them. Jesus touched the leper. But if you're having that remorse, Dr. Zev Zelenko says that there are things that you can do about it. You have a ticking time bomb inside of you that does not need to go off. I would not recommend taking the boosters. We have had microscopy experts. We have had doctors, virologists, epidemiologists, immunologists, scientists. They have told you what's in these things. I would not recommend getting any more of them. But get Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. This shedding is a real phenomenon proven by thousands of testimonials of people with irregular menstrual bleeding and all kinds of hangover symptoms. There is a spike protein that is being transmitted from injected people to uninjected people. Prevent that from happening. Get on this Z-Stack. Protect your kids with the gummies. They're available for pre-order right now. And not only does it protect against that shedding phenomenon, but also from the chimerically engineered gain-of-function Tony Fauci sociopathic taxpayer-funded Wuhan intentionally released China virus. It also protects against influenza and other viruses as well. Do not be trapped in fear. Do not be paralyzed. Listen to the experts. Take care of yourself. Go to ZStackProtocol.com and pre-order this stuff. Put it on auto ship to avoid any shipping delays from high demand. ZStackProtocol.com. Again, go to ZStackProtocol.com. I am praying for you. Do not accept the premise that this thing is over and that evil wins. That is false. That is a lie. That is a lie that the enemy wants you to believe. Do not believe that for 1 minute. God wins. Period. More of the Stu Peters Show right now. Well, so far, at least, Keith Peacock has had a political career that we need to see a lot more of in America. In 2017, he toppled a fossil, a 28-year political veteran, to become the mayor of Orland Park, a suburb just 20 miles southwest of Chicago. After getting elected, Peacock did something absolutely incredible. He reduced his own power and status. Say what? Yes, this guy, Keith Peacock, led the push after being elected mayor to make mayor a term-limited job. He converted the mayorship from a full-time to a part-time position, and get this, he cut his own pay from $150,000 per year to just $40,000. Wow. At the height of Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's COVID-19 tyranny, Peacock refused to enforce the governor's mask and vaccine mandates. While Chicago has already logged 800 murders for the year, Orland Park, Keith Peacock's city, is the safest city in Illinois. Peacock's record is so undeniably successful that even in Chicago's left-leaning suburbs, he won re-election last spring. Well, now Peacock's hoping he can take that approach to Congress. He's challenging for the seat in Illinois' redrawn 6th congressional district, which leans Democrat, but could easily go Republican in a bad year for Democrats. But still, we've seen this pattern for decades in the Republican Party. State and local Republicans show a lot of promise, talk about big changes in Washington, and then they falter once they actually get into office. The GOP is like the Minnesota Vikings of politics. They get you all excited, and then they let you down in excruciating fashion, and then the cycle repeats. So we have to find out, does Keith Peacock actually have what it takes to help break the cycle instead of perpetuate it? One of the best ways to find out is to talk with him directly, and he joins us now. Keith, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Stu. I appreciate it.
So the crime reduction under your leadership, especially as close in proximity to Lori Lightfoot's gun range, that is the city of Chicago, that's extremely impressive. So you're obviously a law and order candidate. What do you say to bail reform laws?
We need to keep violent criminals locked up while they're waiting. When we know they've committed a crime, we need to keep them locked up and not let them back out. 90% of the people that we arrest in Orland Park are previous criminals or they're out on bail. And the letting people out on their own recognizance, just this last week, we removed an illegal gun off the street from a felon with 6 other felonies. And the next day he walked out on his own recognizance. It just can't happen.
The First Step Act allowed criminals back onto the street. Just let them out of jail. Give them a second chance. What's your position on this criminal jailbreak legislation?
So we had legislation here, HB 3653 in the state of Illinois, which in 2023, it has passed. In 2023, it basically eliminates cash bail. And I was a strong opponent to it and pushed against it. And we were still unsuccessful statewide to get that. We just cannot have... We need to keep violent criminals locked up. If we're going to have a discussion about someone who's, you know, some petty crime and not putting them for, you know, $100,000 bail. We can have that discussion, but there can be no discussion about violent criminals need to stay locked up and keep us safe.
There are so many instances of illegal criminal aliens from other countries that have come here unvetted, unchecked, created horror in neighborhoods as they get like just transplanted into the interior of our country against the will of the American people. By the way, it seems that that doesn't matter anymore. And they commit these violent crimes, or you have people that are naturally born here. Look at what happened in Wisconsin just the other day. Guy drives through a parade of people that are there gathered peacefully, Christians celebrating Christmas. And he just mows them down with his vehicle. That guy was out on bail. I mean, so speaking to the law and order side of it and keeping criminals locked up is very near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. And I think it's going to take you a long ways. How about rioting and looting and criminal assault, destruction of property? That all happened to the tune of roughly $12 billion in damage over a 3-month period just last summer. Groups like Antifa and BLM, they were allowed to lawlessly terrorize communities with impunity and then get bailed out by Kamala Harris or Kamala or however you say it and her freedom funds. Meanwhile, parents that attend school board meetings are labeled domestic terrorists. What are your thoughts here?
So you go back to last summer when the riots and looting were happening in the Chicagoland area, and it actually spread out to the suburbs. And when we had intelligence that said it was coming out our way, we had to place calls to our businesses who had just reopened and said, shut back down. They squawked, and we said, hey, this is going to be for your safety. We can't stop anything once they're inside your store, but we can stop them from getting in your store. And we worked in conjunction with our fire protection district and then our public works department. We called everyone in. We blocked every entrance to every retail center. We have 12 million square feet of retail in our town, including a major mall. We blocked it all off. And for 4 or 5 hours, it was pretty testy. We had every police officer on the street except a few holdovers for the night shift. Everyone was called in. We had one of our fine officers was 4 hours down the road on a motorcycle trip. He turned around and came back because they care that much about the town. And we blocked every entrance, sometimes with police officers' personal vehicles because we didn't have enough vehicles for them all. And it stopped them from getting into these places. So we kept our town safe. And we were locked down for about 3 days on that. And we had intelligence that Antifa was looking at coming to our mall to create damage. Well, we had a significant contingent of officers sitting in there waiting in case they showed up. And, you know, fortunately, they did not. But all of that we pay very close attention to and take a very aggressive stance towards, because prevention keeps that from happening. Being proactive keeps that from happening. You can't wait till it happens and then react. It's too late.
Do you consider yourself an America First candidate for Congress?
Absolutely. I served for 9 years in the Air Force, and I've got 3 tours over in Iraq. So, you know, serving runs deep inside me for a very long time.
Well, there's a big travesty happening with our military right now, as you know, with these forced inoculations, the calamity in Afghanistan with a withdrawal like I've never seen before in my entire life. Thank you for your service, by the way. I know that sounds cliche, but I really do mean it. My father served in the Air Force as well. So politically speaking, the redrawn 6th congressional district, it seems to lean Democrat. Am I right there when I was doing my research?
It leans slightly Democrat, but it does not lean as hard as so the 6th district and 3rd district were merged to some degree. About 26% of the former 6th, 40% of the former 3rd, and then 34% of some other districts were combined into one. And it is not as far leaning Democrat as those other two districts were in the past. So
what does your grassroots support look like? I mean, are you largely supported in your city with the way that you have governed as mayor there?
Well, I was reelected in April, so I feel I have pretty good support here in Orland Park, and it's the biggest town that in the new district. So that is obviously a good strength for us. Additionally, some of the Democratic areas in Chicago, for those familiar with it, Mount Greenwood, Beverly, on the kind of the southwest portion, that's where police officers and fire fighters live, and a lot of union households are as well. And I think they are also going to be very receptive of our message of putting America first, keeping them safe.
How do you feel about this vaccine mandate deal for public servants like firefighters and police officers and EMTs? Obviously, you're against the mandates because you resisted them throughout the biggest tyranny that we have seen so far. how are you going to combat that when it comes down to like private businesses of over 100 and then the public servants that work there in Orland Park? Have you resisted allowing that to happen to those cops and firefighters there?
So we have 300 employees in the Village of Orland Park. So we fall over that 100. And we've taken the position. And when I say we, my elected body of trustees, we actually voted on it the way you're supposed to, as opposed to one man rule. And we voted on it and we said, we're absolutely not enforcing any mandates. We're not making our police officers get vaccinated. If they so choose to, they can. And there's a whole lot of complicated issues around that, including with businesses. HIPAA laws don't even allow you to ask an employee if they're vaccinated. So how are you going to do this? And you look at police officers, firefighters, and healthcare workers, they put their butts on the line. We had no idea what this disease even was. And it could have been much more serious than it has turned out to be even. And they were out there providing these services, not knowing what risks they were taking. And now we're turning around and saying we're going to fire them if they're not vaccinated. I can't even fathom that. So we have taken a very strong position in Orland Park that we will not mandate these things, and we educate them and let them make their own choices with their doctors.
Especially knowing what we know now about these shots is that they're not vaccines because by definition, they don't provide any immunity, and they have caused just an unprecedented amount of adverse events and injuries and deaths in just a 10-month period. But they use this fear propaganda in a multi-decades-long brainwashing operation by this terrible media that just out and out lies about everything that they can. I'm sure as a mayor there who's done what you've done, you're no friend of the media.
I have some media that treats me very fairly and then some that do not. As a local mayor, it was pretty good for a while. And under COVID, of course, they always like a story. So when you push back on the governor, they reach out to you constantly. But I think over a period of time, you begin to learn which journalists treat you fairly and report things honestly and which journalists do not. And clearly, we know from a national media perspective that it is completely tilted to one side, and you can't expect a fair shake with that.
Keith Peacock, where can people come and find you if they want to donate to your candidacy for U.S. Congress?
So www.keithpeacock.com. So KEITHPEKAU.com.
All right. We've got it right there on the bottom of the screen as well. Make sure that you go and support this guy because fundraising is what it's all about. It's going to take money to beat these people. And we're going to support you 100%, by the way. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you.
Thank you for having me, Stu.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. Retailers and shopping channels have canceled myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. To thank you all this Christmas, we want to pass the savings directly on to you. At MyPillow, we have hundreds of products, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, mattresses, towels, and so much more. These are the best gifts ever for the best prices ever. This Christmas, I want to offer a message of faith and hope. By the time you're done reading my book, you will believe that with God, all things are possible. For a limited time, you can get my book and your choice of one of these seven amazing MyPillows. This bundle is regularly $59.95, now just $9.98 with your promo code. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. Thank you and God bless.
Well, there's been an awful lot of big trials this fall, and so far, most of them have gone really well. Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted, Jussie Smollett was convicted, but what will we see with Ghislaine Maxwell, the most important, most prolific child sex trafficking trial of the century? Most importantly, will we get any of the information that we really want from the trial? Stu Peters Show investigative reporter Edward Saul has been following the Maxwell trial all week, and he joins us with kind of an exclusive angle that many have likely not heard. So here's the question. Why did Jeffrey Epstein have a bathtub full of FBI pre-tagged pedo porn?
Well, Stu, that question speaks to the heart of this trial, because the question and the fact point to an internal deep state cover-up. Now, what was presented is that the FBI had already been in possession of Epstein's porn. And this is kid porn. This is rape porn. This is blackmail material that he'd accumulated over the years. They had tags on them. This means that the FBI had already cataloged them as evidence and presumably had given them back to Jeffrey Epstein, the monster. Now, the problem with this is that it appears now that there was an attempt to prosecute, an attempt to move forward with something prior to his arrest. And Jeffrey Epstein maybe thought this was very serendipitous for him, that they weren't going to do it, even though they'd seen the dirty, dark secrets. Now, according to FBI Special Agent Kelly McGuire, she testified on the 4th and the 7th day of the trial. She said there was a bathtub full of hard drives, over 20,000 physical and digital photos. These aren't family photographs. These are photos of rape, abuse, pornography involving children. Now, you had diamonds, cash, an Austrian passport listing a Saudi address. But this is the thing. The FBI had seized all these things already. Why would they give the pornography back? Why would they give the evidence of crime back unless they're in on the crime? Now, according to the FBI, when a possible violation of federal laws occurred, this includes sex trafficking and child sex blackmail abuse, the FBI conducts an investigation. They gather information and evidence, and they present it to a U.S. attorney or the Department of Justice. Now, that's when they determine whether to prosecute and if further action is warranted. This is right on the FBI.gov website. Then evidence is either retained or, if they don't decide to move forward, returned, which was the fact of this case. Now, the media, if we're going to call them that, really, the paid propagandists, they've made this a comical trial, a trial that pictures Ghislaine Maxwell, characterizes her as a victim. In the Times of London, they ran this, said, it's a rap battle with pencils. This is what a court artist was quoted as saying. This is not the case. The case at hand is that a international child sex blackmail operation went on for decades while involving some of the most powerful people in U.S. politics, international relations, and spies. Now, a lot of their important information is being covered up, as this week we saw Ghislaine Maxwell's trial tracker account on Twitter was banned. 525,000 people chose to follow this account, and guess what? Twitter deemed it too dangerous. They said the account was artificially amplifying information. You mean information like the New York City chief medical officer, Dr. Barbara Sampson, resigning on day one of the trial? Or James Comey's daughter closing the case of the century for child sex trafficking after 7 days? Or could it be massage therapist, the one accused Kevin Spacey, him mysteriously dying and causing the final case against that man who knew Ghislaine Maxwell, knew Jeffrey Epstein, went to the sex island for the cases against him to be dropped? Or could it be Ghislaine and Jeffrey's connection to intelligence? Now, I have to wonder if it's in part due to the exclusion of other major players in this case, because the prosecution certainly hasn't brought up Les Wexner, Bill Clinton, Ivana Trump, and Alan Dershowitz. Now, the funny thing about Alan Dershowitz, other than being Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer, is that Alan Dershowitz was Jeffrey Epstein's friend. He got massages.
Dershowitz is a longtime friend of Epstein's who represented him in the criminal underage sex case.
Could you please? I never saw a young underage woman.
Yet Epstein's former butler swore under oath that Dershowitz was at Epstein's residences at the same time underage girls were there.
Were there young women in another part of the house giving massages when I wasn't around? I have no idea of that.
Dershowitz did say he once received a massage at Epstein's mansion, but from an adult woman.
I kept my underwear on during the massage. I don't like massages particularly.
I kept my underwear on during the massage.
Underwear or not, anyone who entered that sex dungeon that involved the abuse of kids should be facing trial. And that includes Alan. Reporting for the Stu Peters Show, I'm Edward Zoll.
Well, you see him every day here on the Stu Peters Show, Carlos Cortez. He is the independent fiduciary and CEO over at Cortez Wealth Management. He's also the chief sponsor here on the Stu Peters Show, and we're happy to have him. So we've been directing a lot of people to your classes. People have been writing us saying, wow, we're sure we're learning a lot. It's a free class that you do every single Tuesday. It's online. All you have to do is go to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com to sign up. What are people learning from you that they're so excited about?
Well, we talk about everything. I mean, there's a lot of chaos right now, Stu, in the market. I mean, we have Moderna coming out and saying they're creating a hybrid vaccine shot of a flu and the inoculation jab all in together, a hybrid. I mean, how terrible is that? So the actual shares are actually down today pretty significantly, believe it or not. Secondly, we have an inverted yield curve that's a threat to our economy. So as you know, as Bimbo Face keeps on printing money, our inflation tends to rise. And then the uncertainty part is when prices start to increase, we could see a massive correction in the market. You need to control your investments. God has placed me in this position to help our patriots, help our conservatives when it comes to their wealth.
Amen.
And all they have to do is basically go to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. And we're going to teach you how to control your own money.
AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. And you're absolutely right about that. God is using you because these people are telling me how thankful they are. And that it's just by divine intervention that they found you. They're so happy. And I'm happy that they're happy. That makes me happy to have you here. Till Monday at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it because we're the ones that's used to it. AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the